go marching one by one. Hurrah, hurrah. We slaughter termites just for fun. Hurrah, hurrah.
Again, you're listening to Breakthrough Entertainment live on 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Dave Isaac, alongside Joseph J. Erdo.
Hurrah.
Hurrah for you.
Did you forget his name, hurrah, too?
I almost got it right. And Greg and Eric, Trisha on assignment. And this is a great song from the
Ants.
U.S. military.
No, from Ants. You were talking about him earlier, Woody Allen. The Ants Go Marching to War.
Yeah,
Ants,
I remember that.
Which was a decent animated film.
Yeah.
From like the 1990s?
Yeah, from the 90s. It was supposed to be for adults. It wasn't a kid's film.
No.
Really? I shouldn't have showed it to my children, I guess.
Well, it was it was first made for adults.
I think we bought the DVD, and my kids watched it many, many times.
You're free to do that. I mean, as long as it's not a pornography
might like
or something.
Ant-Man. They may appreciate it.
Probably.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, my youngest son's 15. I'm sure he'll still get a kick out of that.
Eric, I think you should see it. You'll be surprised.
Yes.
I will, as soon as it's free to see.
Free to see.
Free to see.
Yeah, freetosee.com.
You know what, Eric? You should do better with your money then.
Yeah.
And I know someone that can help you. It's
don't tell me.
It's
some guy who owns a car care thing? No?
No, this is business owner tax relief. They can explore how to reduce your taxes for all eligible companies, schools, and municipalities there, Eric. Be sure to call Conrad Kogoschel at 623-888-3210. Visit him online at azbotr.com.
I'm doing that right now.
Entomologist Dr. Brian Fisher from the California Academy of Sciences, thank you so much for calling, Dr. Fisher.
Greetings. I just saw the movie last night, and I loved it.
Yes.
It was great. Oh, I loved it, too. I gave it a breakthrough, which is our highest rating. Would you say that was like a 5-star rating?
I would say it's a 5-star rating. I came in not with grand expectations, but I came away going, this is fantastic. Not only is it a great film, but it actually opens people's eyes to what I consider the invisible, this wonderful world of the miniature, the ants.
I agree. I found it reframing how I thought of ants. You know, a lot of people have different viewpoints of ants depending on the type of ant, but when in the movie they start describing the various types, like fire ants, right?
Yeah, fire ants, crazy ants, carpenter ants,
yeah,
and bullet ants.
So let me ask you this, Doctor. How accurate was the movie when they describe these different types of ants?
Well, they in a sense, mostly got the science right. They got many of the basic ideas about ants, that they're collective beings. They, of course, missed a major point, like the ants we see are female. The male ants play a very minor role. We call them just flying sacks of sperm. They mate, they die, but the work, the activities are all done by the female. That's one flaw, but besides that, they got this idea that the ants can achieve great things. They're great problem solvers.
So the different qualities of the four ants that we mentioned, those were completely dead on then, right?
Well, there's always nuances of it, right? We're learning about ants every day. In fact, one could say maybe you couldn't always take a flying ant because they're only produced seasonally. Those are the new queens that have wings. They fly. Normally they fly, find a mate, then take off the wings. But in a sense, you could imagine wings being kept on just for this service to help this problem, which is helping Ant-Man do his job. So I can see that happening. And the different ants, like the carpenter ants and how they actually are the larger ones, that kind of the working ants that can carry big, heavy things, that's true. While the bullet ants, this one that can be sent in, they have smaller colonies, but they're more venomous. They have a very toxic sting. It's not a bite, it's a sting that can actually be a weapon, and they used it beautifully.
Wow. Now, you mentioned most of these ants are female, so what happened is the male, they mate, and they die right away?
Yes, the males have a very small part of the story. It's really a female story of sisters working together with the queen, their mother. So all those wingless ants walking around in the movie are sisters and female.
So how does the male die? Is it some chemical reaction to what just occurred?
Well, they're not programmed to live long. So in fact, ants, one of the many things that we're learning from ants, we're using ants to study longevity and aging. Because the queen can live up to 45 years, but the carpenter ant, the winged ant in the film, that queen can live 45 years underground, while the worker, they live and actually spend the beginning of their lives in the nest serving the colony, and then as they get older, these old ladies then kind of leave the nest to forage, and that's when they don't live very long. So think of that the next time you squash an ant on your kitchen counter. You're squishing one of the elders, the old ladies.
Oh, wow.
Now, so they live only like 2 years or less.
Really? Now,
45 years.
Does the queen have all the babies, or how does that work?
In normal scenario, the queen is mated with the male that's died. So after the male mates, it's done its life. Now, male ants, they don't do anything. They don't even have mouth parts. They don't even, you know, have teeth in a sense. So they have one function. They fly, they find the queen, they mate, and they die. So that's it. And the queen, interesting, mates only once. And she may live 45 years.
Only once?
Special organ. Everything's generalized.
Like my ex-wife.
So she only does it, so only one time, and she has all these babies, or who has the rest of the babies?
She has all the babies. She has a special organ. We call it a spermatheca. And that organ keeps sperm alive for her entire life until she runs out.
Wow.
And if she runs out, the colony's stuck.
Well, that really is fascinating.
I can't believe ants live that long. Hey, I noticed there's an ant named after you.
What?
There's a few, yes. I'm in the ant business. I love to study ants around the world and find new ant species. I found probably over 1,000 new ant species in Madagascar alone.
Wow.
That is amazing. Now, let me ask you this, Doctor. The black widow, I heard, is similar, where the male mates with the female.
And then she kills it.
And then I think she kills him, right?
Well, that's the ultimate gift, right? He gives his life, possibly as a distraction, in a sense, or an extra gift. She eats the male, providing extra nutrients, maybe, for her babies and the offspring of the male. So a gift that keeps on giving.
Let me ask you this. I'm really fascinated.
It is very fascinating.
Once again, my ex-wife.
Yeah, we've all experienced this. So luckily, I survived. However, do you think, I don't know if this is even possible to know, but let me ask you, you're the expert. Mm-hmm. Do you think the male ants, as well as the male black, the male spider, black widow person, spider, do you think they know they're going to die?
No, they don't know they're going to die.
They have no idea.
Yeah, it's just like a reaction, like, now it's time to be fed to the spider.
Man, that is...
But it gets at a really important point, like knowing. What do they know?
Nothing.
And I think that's what's so exciting about this film, because to me it really shows that in sense our society, we're struggling with these issues of responsibility, morality, how do we grow as a society? We've reached this incredible peak in population size, right? That Earth is getting small in a sense. Well, ants did the same thing about 60 million years ago. They went like a trivial component of biodiversity lives to zooming to being basically the only other social organism that competes with humans. You put all ants on one side of the scale, and put humans on the other, they'd weigh about the same.
Oh, wow. Now,
and so they went through this boom about 60 million years ago and had to solve a lot of problems. And in fact, in the film, it looks like humans are turning to the ant, in a sense, to figure out how to actually behave and learn from them as a society.
Now, a couple questions. One is, do they communicate, or how do they communicate? They seem to be organized. And two, do different species of ants fight each other like in war, you know, like what we have?
Yeah, so just like in societies, sometimes the number one enemy is a colony of the same species, like another nation or whatever. But for ants, they compete with other colonies and with other species, and they have lots of investments into defense. And they do it in a collective way, just like humans. And I think that word collective is really important, because to understand an ant, you can't look at the individual. You can't just look at Ant-Man. That's not an ant. An ant is its colony. And to really understand the biology of an ant, how they function, how they solve problems, it's really about understanding the superorganism, we call it, how they actually work together. In fact, this is one good fact. If you see an ant carrying food back to the nest, you think, wow, that's so nice of that ant to take food back to the nest. Now, if you were out there on a hot day and you found a juicy caterpillar, what would you do? But you kind of think, okay, I'll eat half myself and take the rest back to my sisters back in the nest?
I eat half then and store the other half and not show anyone.
Well, lucky you, you're not an ant, because ants can't eat. The stomach of an ant colony is in the nest. They
wow.
have to take the food back to the stomach. The stomach are the baby. And the babies, the larva, we call it, these little grubs, like caterpillar grubs, are the only things that can eat solid food. So they take the food back, gets fed to the larva, and then these larva, these worms, in a sense, regurgitate it and share that regurgitation with the colony. They have this kind of food
wow.
network that distributes food throughout the colony.
This is just amazing.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yeah,
it really is.
It's
amazing.
So fascinating. You know, once again, I want to remind our listeners, we're speaking with entomologist Dr. Brian Fisher from the California Academy of Sciences. And now, you've got this website as well, right? Tell us about the website, AntWeb.
Yeah, it's called AntWeb, and my goal is to put a face on every single ant species. There's about 30,000 species, we estimate. So my job is to go out and image every single species. I think that's important because most people, as I said, think ants are invisible. But if we do stop and start looking, these ants are fascinating. They're the glue that holds the forest together. They do all types of jobs, and we can learn from them.
Yeah, I agree. And so now, you are the real ant man then. So do you, I mean, I'm going to joke here and say, do you have one of those little devices in your ear that you can talk to the ants with?
No, I wish I did, though.
Do you think that's possible?
I'm looking for them.
Do you think that's ever possible?
Well, that's a good point. So we are learning to start to communicate with ants. So ants, as a society, have to communicate. They can't have a society without communication. And it's true that all ant species have a known set of words, maybe 30 different words they can use, and they produce those words mostly with chemicals. They can use vibrations, too, but chemicals is the main way. We call them pheromones, which is like a perfume, and that's how they can communicate. Now, in the film, they use kind of an example of that is a neural transmission to activate those olfactory glands of communication. So it is possible, and we can do that by fabricating chemicals. In fact, we're using it in pest management. Now, I don't like to talk about pest management, but we're trying to use chemicals to keep ants out of people's homes by communicating with them to say, stay away.
Wow.
Rather than exterminate them.
Exactly.
Well, and that's what I was going to say is because after seeing Ant-Man, and especially after speaking with you, I don't want to step on an ant or kill an ant or anything now if I see it going across my desk. But at the same time,
what if they're in your dinner?
Yeah, you can't just let them be there. So what advice do you have for us if we see an ant on our, you know, plate or on
table?
Table.
Well, one thing is like, wow, you know, we have this incredible biodiversity in our backyard, and here it is right on our kitchen table. Take a second and just watch it. Ant-Man may be the vehicle in which people are going to stop for a second and before they squash it, just to watch it. And notice what it's doing. It's got all this incredible, interesting behavior, this collective intelligence, this ability to communicate with other individuals, and just watch it and learn from its ways. But it is true, maybe we want them outside. But do that next, and do it in a way that doesn't actually hurt your family by putting chemicals everywhere, mm-hmm. and do it more directed. And there's various ways to do it to encourage them to go outside rather than to create a chemical zone in your house that hurts you, your cats, your family, and so forth.
Let me ask you this. If you were eating dinner or lunch and a bunch of ants are crawling across your table, what would you do? Would you kill them?
No, not at all. Are you kidding? In fact, I went outside right now and brought in to my hotel room here in Wisconsin a carpenter colony, and I'm watching it right now as I speak.
You brought it inside?
Yes.
A whole colony?
How?
Well, not a whole colony, just a group of workers.
And what are they doing, like, right now?
Room service?
They're on the phone right now calling room service. No, they're here just wandering around trying to understand how to get back home. They're looking for any trail that may lead them back, some visual cues, maybe. They're very disoriented, very confused.
Wow, that's sort of interesting.
It's so fascinating to speak with them.
It is. Now, let me, one last question. The ecology, how would it change throughout the world if there were no ants?
Well, the world would shut down, in a sense. They're the number one maker of soil. They turn over more earth and earthworms. They really are the glue that holds the forest together. Now, you could remove all the birds of a rainforest and still have a rainforest, but you couldn't remove the insects. You see, insects, especially ants, dominate what we call the brown cycle. Nobody cares about the brown cycle. You walk into a city, all you see is the tall buildings. You don't see downtown they're selling tortillas. Now, it's those ants that are turning over nutrients to allow regrowth. They're like the vacuum cleaners in the forest. They're turning over a rotten log back into soil. Without them, humans can't breathe, in a sense. They're the makers of air. They're the makers of forest. So we need them. In a sense, they don't need us, but we definitely need them. And I think in the film, that came across.
Definitely.
I think so, too.
Dave gave Ant-Man a breakthrough.
Absolutely.
I gave it very close to a breakthrough. I gave it definitely a thumbs up. And Dr. Brian Fisher, would you say, how many stars? Would you say 4 or 5?
I would say 4.5. I actually really liked the movie.
All right. So he's on board with me right there on the edge of a breakthrough. So thumbs up. Entomologist Dr. Brian Fisher, California Academy of Sciences, antweb.org. Everyone go there and check it out. You know, we focused on ants in this segment. I so wanted to talk about the variety of bugs. This is not just our ant show. This is our bug show. But I guarantee we're going to do it again. You're absolutely fascinating, Dr. Fisher. Thank you so much for helping us celebrate the release of Ant-Man.
Great, thank you.
Take care and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
And may the ants be with you.
Thank you so much.
Nice.
I don't know. I find them fascinating.
Yes, I agree.
And I'm not a fan of insects usually. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sort of the Woody Allen, like screaming and running hysterically out.
By the way,
this was interesting.
That guy has some pretty big creds.
Yeah, I know.
I mean, he worked for Smithsonian Institute.
Oh. Yeah,
not to mention many others.
Yes, so
he's major time, and you can see his passion. You gotta like that. It doesn't matter what subject. If someone has passion in what they do, they're top notch.
Andy was traveling today, so I just want to clarify that.
Claire,
he's actually in Wisconsin, but he's in a hotel room, mm-hmm. So he's traveling. Yet he still made time to go see Ant-Man last night.
Very cool.
And he made time to talk with us today about it. So we thank Dr. Fisher so much.
Yeah.
Again, entomologist Dr. Brian Fisher,
and of course Dr. Fisher has some guests in his hotel room, and
yes,
as Eric mentioned,
maybe
ordering some room service. So I'm wondering what they would enjoy.
Well, he's got to feed them.
Maybe some strawberry.
Ants like food.
They like soda.
Yeah. No, they bring it back for the larva.
For the stomach of the nest.
They have to regurgitate, and then you have a delicacy.
And on that
sounds like a fun
and you die when you mate. So what's the lesson in real life?
Don't get married.
And in horror movies, you die when you get some action.
The real
always, because that's sinful, and the sinfuls have to die.
Yeah. Abstinence. Am I right, Eric?
Yeah.
So this Jason Voorhees, Michael Myers, Frederick Krueger, they are Christian.
Frederick.
But the queen gets to have sex once?
Yeah, in 45 years.
Mm-hmm. Dang it, they get married.
I can't believe an insect lives that long.
They make some love.
Yeah, it's one time, and then the male guy dies.
Like houseflies only live for like a week.
No, man, but how would you like? I mean,
that's Japanese for housefly.
He would never have a book of 25,000 if he was like a Black Widow or an Ant-Man. He would die after the first time, and all those other times, 24,999 times. You remember the book, right?
No.
Oh, I mean, it was how many women he was actually.
Are you talking about Gene Simmons?
No, Walt Chamberlain.
Him too.
Yeah. He wouldn't have a book if he was an ant.
So what was his book? Just a list of all his conquests?
Yeah, I didn't read it, but I think it was called 25,000.
I'm going to go ahead and come in here and say that we've got a guest that we're supposed to be calling. So we're going to take a quick break. We need to have Dr. Fisher on again sometime so we can have we could talk more about other bugs, because, you know, he's an entomologist. Not just an entomologist, but an entomologist talks about all types of bugs. We're going to have to do this.
I wanted to know if there was any other bugs that kill their mates.
Exactly. I know. Praying
the
mantis,
human race.
The praying mantis, they're Christians.
Yeah, praying mantis kills, right?
Too, I think. Yeah. All right. So Ant Bully, Ants Go Marching by Ant Buddies. Ant Bully. It's a good movie.
Ant Bully. I didn't see it, but this is Breakthrough Entertainment, live, 1480 AM KPHX in Phoenix, Arizona. We'll be right back.